TJ Slidewave Live, courtesy of racesontheweb.com. Here is your host, TJ Buchenbarger.
Thank you, Beth. Coming to you from our studios here at the data center for TJSlideways.com, just outside of Grand Rapids, Michigan. Yes, we're still standing. The wind blew a little bit, but thankfully nothing too major along the way. Later on in the show, we're going to have the Michigan Traditional Sprints champion, who also happens to run the series, Joe Irwin, will join us. But on the line to kick off the show tonight, we like doing things a little bit differently around here. And this is someone I've thought about having on the show for a while because he's got a great perspective on the entire sprint car world, because he deals with a lot of it over at Lane Automotive and All-Star Performance. Eddie Smith joining me on the line. First of all, Eddie, I can't believe it's taken us this long to do this, but I'm glad to have you on tonight.
Hey, no problem. I appreciate the call.
Well, you just got back from the World Finals recently. You just made a trip out there. How do you think that event is going so far? I mean, it's been several years. It seems to be on the grow, but it's a relatively new event to the sprint car world and the dirt track world, for that matter. What's your take on the World Finals?
Yeah, I think this year here, I think, was the largest year ever for spectators. It was, I think what they have done is they moved it a week later this year, which really helped attendance. It was the second week instead of the first week in November. And what it did is it allowed a lot of the other dirt late model racers across the country to join them. I think they had like 70-some late models, and again, in the mid-50 range for the sprint cars. But on the fan side of it, the crowds were just huge. They actually quit selling standing room only tickets on Saturday. They had so many people there.
That's a good problem to have for our sport, and also good car counts. Now, you deal with your job over there at Lane and All-Star. You deal with a lot of sprint car stuff. Is sprint car racing starting to grow again after the tough time we saw in the economy, or is it kind of staying put at this point?
You know, it really is. We're starting to hear from a lot of the older customers that maybe 10, 15 years ago raced or who were involved with racing. One of the main things that we've really noticed is with the economy starting to come back, it depends on what area you're in, of course, but some of the smaller sponsorships are starting to come back to some of the race teams. You know, for instance, like the lawn care business guys, you know, they might throw $1,000 here or $1,000 there, car washes. Some of the smaller businesses are really starting to help the racers out again, and as you know, that really helps them out with the added cost of travel. The tires and the engine bills are just, you know, astronomical. So every little bit helps, and we're starting to see more and more of that come back to help the racers.
Now, you guys just launched your open wheel catalog again. I just got in the mail. It's a great looking catalog again from you guys at Lane Automotive, and everything looks good in it. What kind of new items can we maybe expect to see coming down the pipe this year that you'll see at the racetrack? Is there any kind of hot items that you guys have acquired about, or something that you really think is going to be hot on the shelves this year?
You know, nothing that we can really say that's hot. Along the lines of one particular part, not really, but we're starting to see, for instance, different product lines. You know, as everybody knows, some of the TI-22 stuff's pretty hot right now, you know, with their GF1 chassis. It's pretty strong. That helps out. Also, Triple X has added a lot of new parts to their chassis lines with, you know, a very good car. Quality is great, so I think the racers are starting to recognize that now, and they just continue to add new parts. Some of the other vendors that we've actually added, which I think are going to help some of the shock manufacturers, are, you know, all over the place between gas and oil-based shocks, but the factory King shocks we picked up here not too long ago, and that line seems to be really taking off. But nothing really, one particular part stands out to us right now.
Well, that's good news. Now, we see a lot of growth in 305 sprint car racing, especially in the middle part of the country. Is the growth in that class starting to represent a little more piece of the sprint car racing pie? Are you guys noticing a movement towards the 305 race savers and things of that nature?
Yeah, we actually are. That is starting to grow, and some of our engine builders that we have relationships with are really starting to hit that market pretty hard. They are actually trying to help start these divisions in their areas, Iowa and in Ohio. You know, it's already pretty strong in some of the 305 classes, but it does help There's not a big difference between a 305 and a 360 right now, but, you know, every little bit helps. So, I mean, if a guy can get started in a 305 and save, you know, anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000, or, you know, upwards of some of the better 305, you know, $10,000, you know, that helps. So I think in the long run, it's really going to help the sprint car world just to add another division, you know, to help keep the cost down a little bit, because everybody knows the biggest cost is in the motor program.
And you know exactly what that cost is all about, because you have been behind the wheel before, and now your son sits behind the wheel of the sprint car. So when they call you over there to get something or to inquire about something, you're not just talking to a sales guy. You're talking to a guy that actually still fields a race car.
Yeah, back in the day, I drove, and were, you know, and I know a lot about the product, because when I drove, I tore a lot of it up. So that was part of it. But yeah, Trey is, you know, he's racing, and we race, you know, 15, 18 times a year is all, but we do. But the thing is, where I learn a lot of the information from is from our racers. You know, they're actually on top of it. And then again, you know, being part of All-Star, we have a lot of the top teams. You know, we sell parts to all of the World of Outlaw teams and things like that. So we get a lot of information from them. And in turn, I pass that on to the racers and to the dealers that we're selling parts to.
And if you happen to be in the Watervliet area, it's worth a stop at the showroom there, because that place is just amazing. I took the tour on the way out to Knoxville and was just floored. Of course, Ed was too busy eating or something, but I got the tour, and it was absolutely amazing. I ran into him later in the week at Knoxville, and it was just, it's an unbelievable to think that sits in our backyard here in Michigan, and there's virtually everything there you need to build a race car.
Yeah, I mean, every part is there. I mean, we sell to the engine builders, to the chassis manufacturers, to the race teams, to the dealers. Every part there to go racing is in that building. We can, except for some of the tires, depending on where you're racing or what division. But other than that, we can build a car from top to bottom. And we offer, you know, if any of the sprint car guys are driving by or in the area, feel free just to stop in, ask for myself or John Berglund or any of us, and we're more than happy to take you guys around and show you the place.
And I know it is worth stopping. Trust me, folks, you got to stop there over at Lane Automotive and All-Star Performance. So it's been a very interesting year in sprint car racing. We've seen a lot of ups and downs, a lot of things. What do you think for you personally was the most memorable story or moment of the 2013 season for you?
You know, there's a lot. I go to a lot of the races and watch a lot of things, but I would have to say the most memorable part of this race, and it might not be just one race, but it's just, you know, the success of probably like a Kyle Larson, you know, with him entering into, you know, racing on Saturday night or Friday night, and the next thing you know, he's racing NASCAR. I think that's probably some of the most memorable part of the year. As you look back and you look on the internet and the forums, and it seems like there's a lot of Larson information out there. That's probably one of the bigger things. One of the bad parts of the year was probably Tony Stewart breaking his leg. You know, everybody looks back at that now with all the new safety features everybody's trying to bring in the sprint car racing. That's probably one of the bad times, but one of the better times probably some of the success that Kyle Larson's had.
And you mentioned some of those safety items. Are some of those things starting to hit your shelf yet, or are they still a little ways off, do you think?
Well, some of the pieces are. I mean, some of the driveline safety features are there, but there are some meetings set up around the PRI time, and the chassis manufacturers and World of Outlaw Group, and people are finally going to have another meeting, and they're going to sit down and start talking about some of these things. When I was in Charlotte, I did notice that some of the race teams have already started building some of the, it looks like we're going to have to run tethers on the front axles and things like that. Nothing set in stone yet, but I did notice some of the teams down there were starting to build their own tethers and safety pieces. So we're watching it very closely right now.
And of course, as that gets decided, you'll be able to pick them up there. you know, what's probably your most memorable race trip of the past season? As you mentioned, you get out to a lot of places, even more than we do throughout the year with your job and such. What's maybe an out-of-the-way adventure, maybe something might be a little bit off the radar, but is really a great racing trip for someone? Do you have something that you could advise someone like, hey, this might not be on your radar, but you should go here and check this out?
You know, one of the places that are kind of close, and it's probably every time I've ever went to Kokomo Speedway, it's just awesome racing. You know, I mean, even if it's majority non-wing racing, but even if they have a wing race or something, it's just awesome racing. I mean, if nobody has ever been to Kokomo Speedway, that is the place to go. I mean, that's probably one of the most awesome races you'll ever watch, non-wing Kokomo racing.
And I agree. I think that's, if you were going to build the mold for the perfect racetrack, I think that place probably is pretty darn close to what it would be.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, those guys just, I mean, run the bottom, they hit the wall, they climb all over the top of each other. It's just incredible racing.
And I would agree with that. So make sure if you haven't done that yet, you got to get out there. So Eddie, you know, I've known you for a long time, and it was great to come out there this year and get the tour and everything. If someone wants to catalog, where can they get it at?
Okay, yeah, you can just call the Lane Automotive store, or you can go online to laneautomotive.com. And we can, you know, get you one there. But the main thing is we're starting to send them out now to a lot of the people that are already on our mailing. You will see those here in the next few weeks. Also, some of the guys that are going to the PRI show, we'll have them available there. But if not, you know, it's always great. Just give us a call and, you know, we'll get you fixed up with one.
And I'm sure you'll be able to visit with Eddie at the PRI booth, and he'll be ready to get you whatever you need to get hooked up for the 2014 season. Eddie, one thing I always like to ask vendors and distributors and stuff that are inside the sport, getting ready for the season. You know, quite often, a lot of times we see a lot of teams wait till the last minute. They're trying to get stuff out, and you guys do a great job of accommodating that. But what should a race team right now, if I'm just like a local one car sprint car operation, what should I be focused on this time of year as far as getting ready for next year?
Okay. Here's the thing that this is the biggest mistake people make. They start building their race car and they forget, oh, I need to purchase a seat. Sometimes a lot of the people are going with now these full containment custom seats, which are great. You know, we definitely recommend that. But lead times on those things are sometimes could 6-7 weeks out. So make sure that you start with the safety pieces of the car first. Your seat, make sure you get the seats ordered in time if you're going to go with a custom seat. Second of all is suits. You know, a lot of people have custom suits. They want to send it out and get their logos put on it. In the busy season, here in the next month, Simpson and some of these suit manufacturers, I mean, it could take 8 weeks to get a suit. Those are the two main things that people run into trouble getting are suits and seats and just their safety gear, just because of the time to get the stuff. The rest of the parts, usually, I mean, we try to do our very best in keeping parts on the shelf, which we very rarely run out of something for any, you know, given time, but everything else, you can give us a call and we can send out usually the same day, but seats and safety gear.
And that is why we have this guy on, because I would have never thought about that. Eddie Smith joining us on the line. Well, Eddie, it was great having you on the air, and I think after this conversation, we're going to have you back. We will have to have you report on site from us from the World Finals next year or something. So we'll have a great holiday season, man, and appreciate talking to you, and best of luck over the holidays, and we'll talk again probably sometime in January before Chili Bowl as things are starting to heat up.
Yeah, definitely. And again, if anybody's in the area, just please feel free to stop in. Just go in the showroom. I work in the back, actually, so just have them give me a call, and I'll come up and meet you. And if there's anybody who wants to take a tour, please feel free to stop in.
All right. That's Eddie Smith from Lane Automotive and All-Star Performance. Thank you, Ed.
Hey, thank you.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk to MTS champion and series head Joe Irwin. You're listening to TJ Sideways Live here on racesontheweb.com.
Engine Pro, the nation's leading specialty engine parts distributor, featuring name brand engine parts and custom engine kits sold by professional rebuilders. With 29 distribution centers providing engine builders and machine shops across the country with a full line of brand name internal engine components at competitive prices. Engine Pro is committed to building the success of their customers by offering competitive pricing, innovative programs, and knowledgeable sales representatives. For more information, visit our website at EngineProParts.com. It pays to know a pro. Engine Pro.
If you're looking to add a little edge to your racing program, repair your engine, maybe even look into a new engine, Bailey Racing Engines of Coldwater, Michigan is a fine supporter of TJSlideways.com. Visit them online at BaileyEngines.com or call them at 517-278-8488.
Tired of having black headers that rust and wear out too quickly? Then you need to get some Rocket Headers. Rocket Header produces exhaust for 360 and 410 sprint car engines, dirt and pavement, with mufflers and turnouts. Stainless steel construction, TIG welding, and polished finish make Rocket Headers the best value in the open wheel racing exhaust market. For more information on where to buy Rocket Headers, visit their official website at rocketheaders.com.
TJ Buffenbarger here for the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum in Knoxville, Iowa. The Hall of Fame continues to promote the future of sprint car racing by preserving its past. The museum is located in Knoxville, Iowa, and is open Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m., and Saturday and Sunday from noon to 5 p.m. On race nights, the museum will stay open until 7 o'clock. Don't forget, race fans, one of the best ways that you can support the Hall of Fame is buying a membership. They start at just $25, and a basic membership gets you and a guest free admission to the museum and a 10% discount off in the museum store. Also, check with the Hall of Fame for suite tickets on the second and third floor for the 2013 Knoxville season. You can get information on all of this by going to SprintCarHOF.com, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame.
If you're looking for new or used shocks or repair for your shocks or bump stop kits, make sure to check out Slade Shock Technology. Eric Slade has experience from sprint cars to NASCARs. He was in shocks before it was trendy, and now that's the hot thing in racing. You need to get your shock program in shape. Visit www.sladeshocktechnology.com for everything they offer. Slade Shock Technology. Get with the program. Get your shocks in shape.
There's a buzz in the bleachers, a rumble on the pavement, and the sweet smell of sprint car speed is in the air as Muncie Racing brings you the fastest short track event on earth. Watch as the most daring lead foots in the land stand on the gas and rocket around one of the fastest half miles in America. There are records to be broken and racing royalty in the pits. It's a flat-out, foot-on-the-floor sprint car fiesta, and you can't find this brand of adrenaline-soaked action anywhere else.
Friday Night Thunder returns to Oshwegan Speedway for the 2013 season, featuring the Corpac Sprint Car Series, Thunderstocks, Mini Stocks, and Bombers every Friday night. For more information, call 888-720-7223 or visit OshweganSpeedway.com for more information. Welcome back to TJ Flyways Live here on RacesOnTheWeb.com at the Engine Pro Studios. And my next guest is your MTS champion for this year. He also runs the series, does a little bit of everything. He's done some pavement racing this year, and we're glad to have Joe Irwin back on the show tonight. Joe, thank you for taking time out to join us.
No problem. Love to do it.
Well, you got a banquet coming up, so that keeps you busy, of course, but it seemed to be a really solid year for your racing series, and you came away with the championship. How much did some of the upgrades that you did during the season contribute to your bettered success over this past year?
Well, I did get a newer frame, I guess. The past, really since I've been started racing, I've been running the same old 98 Stewart chassis, and I figured, you know, was only so fast with that car, and I figured maybe I should try something more standard, and ended up picking a used Big Macs up that needed some work done to it, and tried that, and it ended up, after I figured out how the thing worked, it actually worked really well for me in the last half of the year.
And what is it like when you go from something that is, you know, when you're first starting out, a lot of local drivers have their starter car and whatnot, and you move up to something like that. What was the biggest learning curve, and how much of a difference was it once you got that learning curve figured out?
Well, I think the biggest thing is my older car is it's a unique car. It was a special built car, and you know, luckily knowing the person that, you know, designed the car, at the time was, you know, not that far off to be able to make that car handle. And, it was actually just real easy. You know, I was trying to do stuff that I was doing with that car, with the new car, but then all I did was look up some Maxim setup sheets, you know, online and started using those. And it was that simple. When you got something that everybody else uses, you can bounce off the ideas off everybody a lot easier, and just, you know, standard car, you know, Maxims, you know, kind of like this, you know, one of the upper echelon cars there is, so everybody's got one, and almost kind of made it easier for me.
Joe Irwin joining us, and this year, what did winning that championship mean for you? That's a big step in your sprint car career that's actually, compared to a lot of people, relatively new still.
Yeah, I've had other championships before. You know, I won a 96 championship, you know, back in 06 when they did the non-wing deal there. And, you know, winning the championship always is definitely a big deal. And, you know, a little bit weird being that it's my own series, you know what I mean? I almost feel like I shouldn't collect points or something, but, you know, that's a real big deal to me. And, I feel that I'm getting really close, especially this last year, on picking up a feature win that's kind of eluded me so far.
And you raced out quite a bit this year, too. You're not afraid to go down to Waynesfield and some other places, but you also did some blacktop racing. How did that come about, and how did that go for you?
Well, like I said, my old car, my old 98, I figured I'd keep that around and scrimped and scraped and mowed some extra lawns and whatever I had to do, and borrowed some parts from my dad, and put the car together to go run Spartan. I liked the program that they had over there, being non-wing sprints, and I know they struggle a little bit with car count, and I figured it's only an hour away for me, and throw some slicks on it and go see what it's like, because I've never raced on pavement until this year. So it was definitely an experience, and looking forward to hopefully doing it again this year.
And that's where I was leading into next. What, where are we going to see Joe Irwin in 2014? What's your plans right now to date?
Well, obviously I'm going to be racing MTS shows, you know, I almost have to be there anyways if I have a car or not. So why not bring a car and race? Cause that's really what I put it together for, was, you know, four racers, and I'm a racer myself. So, you know, that's what it was put together for, racers like me that, work their regular 9 to 5 and can afford to, you know, maybe do a limited schedule and be able to race, you know, maybe 10, 12 times a year and still be able to race a full series and whatnot. So definitely will be there. And, I still got the old car with the slicks on it. That's, you know, only bad thing with that is my dad ran that car at the end of the year up at Owendale and blew the motor in it, so I'm kind of trying to scramble to put another motor together so I can go out and do the pavement program again.
And so there's Joe Irwin, the driver. Now let's put on Joe Irwin, the MTS Series head hat for a moment, and let's talk about what you guys might have lined up for next year. You said you have your banquet coming up. Are things starting to come together yet for 2014 for the MTS Series? I know it's a little early, but it seems like these days a lot of promoters are getting their dates set a lot earlier.
Yeah, I haven't really had a chance to get too far into that. Like I said, I'm, you know, scrambling around trying to get some motor parts together and with my regular work and getting this banquet and stuff. And I'm hoping after I get this banquet taken care of, I can get more on the promoters and hopefully get my schedule going. Most of the time, you know, excluding a couple tracks, being that we're special dates, they usually take a while to fill in those extra dates, at least for our series. I know with some of the other series, they can get their dates way ahead of time, but usually with mine, I guess maybe it's just the way that I deal or what, but usually takes a little while, and we kind of wait for people's track schedules to pan out, and then find those couple dates here or there that we could fit in, and that's why usually we're a little bit later than other people on getting our schedule out.
And what do you think was the biggest difference this year at the MTS series? You know, it seems like the car count was up and such. You think it's just a product of the economy coming back? You know, so we're starting to see some more cars out there, but it seems like your car counts were pretty solid everywhere this year.
Yeah, we did have a really good car count. About halfway through the year, we did get a little bit lower than I wanted to be. We had some, you know, some crashes and some blown motors and different things that kind of took its toll on our car count, but few new guys that came out, a few guys that, you know, maybe hadn't been taking their wings off, maybe coming out a little bit more, you know, tried it once and liked it, so you know they're coming back. I guess that's kind of more or less what it is, you know, or it might be just a guy that don't want to travel too far, and there's a sprint car race close enough, they'll do that instead of saying putting the wing out and going to Indiana or Ohio or something, you know.
Joe Irwin joining us. Well, Joe, congratulations on that championship. Are there any banquet tickets left? Can people still call you and get arrangements to go to the banquet this weekend?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there's always more available, and you can even just show up at the door if you wanted to and come hang out at the festivities for Lane Automotive MTS Sprint Series Banquet.
All right, and where is it going to be held at?
It's in Lapeer, at the Lapeer Center building.
So at the Lapeer Center building on Saturday, the MTS banquet. Well, Joe, have a great holiday season. Look forward to talking to you again, probably when the MTS schedule comes out and we have our Great Lakes preview later on in 2014.
Sounds great.
All right, and that's going to wrap up this shortened edition of TJ Sideways Live, as we have a few things we have to take care of this evening. Look for some podcasts later in the week. As schedules start to come out and other news breaks, we'll have more podcasts. But that'll be all for this week. So on behalf of everybody, our guest Joe Irwin, everyone, Eddie Smith, Lane Automotive, and everyone here at TJSideways.com, leading into Thanksgiving next week, we'll have our Thanksgiving special. So on behalf, we want to thank all of you for listening. Thank you, and good night.
Thank you for listening to this edition of TJ Sideways Live.